White, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, March 18, 1902. Dear son Edson, I received your letter yesterday. Thank you for writing. I have been heavily burdened, but I shall not take time now to tell you of this matter. I wish to say that I fully endorse your conclusions. I believe them to be wise. You have borne many responsibilities, and it is time now for you to come apart and rest a while. You are in need of rest. Your propositions with regard to your future plans please me. If your father could have taken time to rest before he had his first shock of paralysis, he might have been alive now. But I look in thought upon his grave, and am glad that he is not in the turmoil of the battle. Later. Well, I had to leave your letter to finish an article to send to Los Angeles. I shall send you a copy of what I have written. W.C. White has just left here for Los Angeles. He has gone down to attend to business connected with the sanitarium there. We had a praying season together before he left. We have learned that Dr. Moran has negotiated for some land in the city of Los Angeles on which to erect a sanitarium. For a long time, the brethren have been contemplating the establishment of a sanitarium in Southern California. All could see the wisdom of placing this sanitarium in the country. Many desirable and beautiful sites were visited. But the erection of the sanitarium has been delayed because, in the meeting held to decide the question of location, Dr. Moran refused to vote in harmony with his brethren. The matter has been hanging for months. Those in charge of the work in California have visited Los Angeles again and again, but nothing has been accomplished. And now, Dr. Moran, without consulting those he should have consulted, has made a hasty move with regard to buying some property in Los Angeles for the sanitarium site. He then wrote to the medical board that he had found a suitable location for the sanitarium, had paid $1,000 on it, and that he wished the medical board to sign a note for $20,000, which would be lent by the businessmen in the city. He said that it would require about $40,000 more to erect and furnish the building. The brethren told Dr. Moran that light had been given in the testimonies that sanitariums should not be established in the cities, but away from the cities. The condition of things in the cities will grow more and more objectionable, and the influence of these surroundings will be unfavorable to the accomplishment of the work that our sanitariums should do. From a health standpoint, the smoke of the cities is a strong objection to them as places for the location of sanitariums. Dr. Moran then said that the institution in Los Angeles would be used as a branch sanitarium, and that the sanitarium proper could be established out of Los Angeles. My soul was deeply burdened over this matter. The night before last, I was in bed by 8 o'clock. In the night season, I was in a council meeting where the brethren were discussing the matter of the sanitarium in Los Angeles. One of the brethren presented the advantages of establishing the sanitarium in the city of Los Angeles. Then one of authority arose and presented the matter with clearness and force. I arose at 10:30 and began writing out the instruction I had received. The copies I send you will speak for themselves. I now feel greatly relieved. The matter that the Lord helped me to write out yesterday and this morning will be a great help to our people in settling the question of the location of our sanitariums. Much is involved in the location of the sanitarium in Southern California. In their restlessness and haste, men are in danger of making moves without giving due consideration as to what the result of these moves will be. Often they fail to see that there is danger of going too fast, and thus bringing confusion. It is the duty of the Lord's workers to move when they know that the Lord desires them to move, not before. Until the word comes, go forward. Their part is to wait. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. While they are waiting, they may learn lessons of trust and confidence. Thus they may gather stores of wisdom and experience. There is much to be learned in seeking the Lord and submitting to His will. Since my return from the East, I have not been able to use my voice in public speaking. But it has been gradually growing stronger, and last week W.C. White, Sarah, Maggie Hare, and I drove to Calistoga, a town about 9 miles from here. I thought I would test my voice by trying to speak to the few who assemble there on the Sabbath. When we reached the church, I stayed in the carriage while Willie went inside and asked that the building be well ventilated. The church is heated with stove heat, and I dared not venture inside till the windows had been opened and the air cooled. I spoke for 25 minutes and then went out and sat in the carriage in the sunshine till Willie had finished speaking. I slept very little that night, but I do not think my speaking hurt me. For some time I have had few good night's sleep. Various things have been troubling my mind. I have had Elder Frankie's case on my soul, and Elder Haskell's, and Dr. Zielinski's, and Dr. and Mrs. Sanderson's. These all need help, and I must write to them. The many letters that come, full of complaint and asking for advice, perplex and worry me. Sarah helps me much in this. In the case of some of the letters, I tell her what to say in reply, and others, she answers without asking me. Since I came home, I have written 500 pages of typewritten matter. Nothing hurts me so much as for you to be perplexed and troubled and disappointed, and for me not to be able to help you. You do not understand me, and I dare not write to you, fearing that I shall not help you. I do not want you to be so heavily burdened. It worries me to think that you are. What does the Lord require of you and of me? Obedience, simply obedience. Christ says, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." John 15, verse 14. I dare not encourage you to gather more responsibilities to yourself. I feel free to urge you to preach the word, for I know that you will try to practice what you teach. You feel intensely over many things, but do not allow yourself to be provoked to anger. The way I do is to keep quiet. A hasty word will open the floodgates, and then I should be in danger of speaking unadvisedly. If I do not speak, but instead send up a prayer to God, relief comes to me. I try to be careful of my words, because I read, "By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Matthew 12, verse 37. You will never be idle, but always busy. But do not gather to yourself too many responsibilities. Shall not you and Emma and I seek the Lord most earnestly? He says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." James 1, verse 5, 6. I fear that we lose much by not showing firm confidence and trust and unwavering faith in God. I ask him to help me to carry all my burdens to the Savior and to let him work for me as he chooses. And I must show my faith by doing his will as far as it is in my power, believing that the Lord is answering my prayers. Let us be more diligent in trying to lead others to the Lord. Let us be more willing to work as Christ and the disciples worked. The Savior says, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Mark 8, verse 34.